to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Let's just dive in again quickly in Philippians 2 and from verse 5 here. So often we're moving into what's often called the Christ hymn, and again, thought of as the centerpiece of the New Testament. And so, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He emptied himself by taking on the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And here in verse 7, we see by taking on the very nature of a servant, Jesus took on this nature. He placed it on. He stepped into this nature of a servant. And in verse 8 here, that he humbled himself. He humbled himself by being clothed in human flesh, by coming onto our planet and surrendering his life for us. And we often, as we read these verses that we just have, we can tend to swing, and certainly I have, we swing towards the last few verses in here, and therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and we rightly so, we lift this now to a place of praise and exaltation and or declaration that his name is above every other name, and that is right and that is good. And I want to just to sit a little longer in the first part and just remember again what Jesus has done for us, that he took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself, and he did this for us. We see here in what Jesus did a love like the world has never seen before, where he steps out of the majesty of heaven into the grot of earth to have himself limited in this human frame and then to be beaten and tortured and hung on that cross for us. And Jesus chose that, this self-humbling, this posture of a servant, to give us a glimpse of God's extraordinary love for us, to show us how loved we are. In 1 John 4, 9 to 10, it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live, that we might have life through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Jesus took on the very nature of a servant for you and me, for us. Jesus humbled himself for you, for me, for us. And our Jesus leads the way in modeling servant-hearted humility. Jesus, as he came as a man, he chose this posture of servant-hearted humility. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords displayed his greatness to the world by coming in servant-hearted humility. And we launched last week our theme for 2024, which you may have picked up in my language just now if you weren't here, is servant-hearted humility, the way of Jesus. Servant-hearted humility, the way of Jesus. And so we're springboarding from Philippians 1:27 through to chapter 2, verse 18, and we'll endeavor across the year to read that passage of Scripture in every translation of the Bible we can find. So we may even flick to different languages, and so you can read and you're like, let's do that. I just said that. I hadn't actually thought that. That just came out. Whether that may be a bad idea or a good idea, I guess we have to go there now. We can try it once. So as I was praying through the week and thinking about this servant-hearted humility theme and us as a church, these strange words just popped into my head that I don't normally think these words. And these three words were continue with gusto. Continue with gusto. Who said gusto recently? Has anyone just... It's not normal in our everyday vernacular, right? And so I just felt the Holy Spirit just popped it in for us. And so on our journey of becoming more and more like Christ, of living in His power, of letting His love and His great blessing flow to us and through us to the world, that we should continue with gusto. Can you just say those words? Continue with gusto. Now say it with gusto. Continue with, how do you say it with gusto? I don't know. Continue with gusto. So now to help us with our message, we're turning to AI. So in classic MJ Kemp fashion, he sent me something in the last week or so where he fed into his AI search bot all of M's liturgical prayers. And so fed them in and said, now, I don't know who you ask. Now, AI, can you write us a liturgy for servant-hearted humility written in the tone and sound of M's liturgical writings? And so here's a little snippet for you today. It's wonderful and freaky all at the same time. May we walk in your lowly steps, Jesus, seeking not to be seen, but to see others as you do, loving not to get love, but to freely give your love away. Transform our desires so we hunger for what is righteous and true. Foster a servant-hearted humility that seeks to uplift, not to be uplifted, to understand before being understood, to love in action and in truth, in the quiet, unremarkable moments that stitch our days together into a tapestry of your design. Now, M could have written that line. That's weird. Let us remember the model of our Savior, who washed the feet of those he led, who offered himself not as a king demanding service, but as a servant offering life. Thank you, we think, MJ. So today, as promised last week, we're going to spend a little bit of time just unpacking these key terms in what is our theme this year, servant-hearted and humility. And so we're going to start with humility here. And so again, from chapter 2, verse 8, we see here that Jesus humbled himself. He positioned himself in active humility. This was his posture as he came as a human to earth. And we also see up in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Same Greek word here. Can I just call it out that humbling ourselves is not natural? Pride is way more natural for humans. And now we mask it really well, particularly the kind of maybe the more emotionally intelligent or the longer we're around or the longer we're a Christian, we just get really good at masking pride and we call it different things. But that's way more natural posture than real humility like what Jesus showed here. I want you to think, think about the last time you went into a cafe or a fast food place and you walked in and you looked up on the screen and you could see the menu and the prices. And so you're looking up on the screen and then you're making a decision about what you want. And so you're looking at the menu. You can see what's on offer here. And then you see the price tag. And so you then make decisions, right? If I want that, then I've got to pay that. And if I get that, then that may be cheaper, but I really want to add the bacon. Do I want to pay the extra $4? Or again, so you do the math, you figure it out, and then you pay the price. You do want the bacon. Tam wants the bacon. I agree wholeheartedly. So there is a price tag on what we're about to buy. There is also a price tag on radical, deep, transformative and fruitful works of the Holy Spirit. There's a price tag on the most deep and profound works of the Holy Spirit in us. And that price tag is humility. It's a self-humbling that we must choose to allow God to bring the freedom that He so desperately wants to bring into us day after day after day after day. And there is a battle then inside of us every moment of every day that we're normally not consciously aware of, a battle between pride and humility. It wars in us. So pride, maybe to define humility, let's have a little look at pride. Pride is thinking too highly or too fully about oneself. Pride is an overinflated sense of our own importance. Pride elevates the importance of our own opinion. Pride elevates our abilities, it overinflates them. Pride underestimates our desperate need for God and also our desperate need for others. And pride keeps areas locked away from God's transforming presence. And self-humbling is the price tag on the most transformative works of the Spirit that Jesus paid the price for, and that we get to position ourselves for God to do in us. Because as we do, the world is most blessed through us. And so the greatest King of all kings chose to come to this world, the most powerful person who has ever been. He displayed His power through His humility. And that did not undermine what He was here to do, but it gave Him a platform for effectiveness. And the same for us. This is not a weak posture. No, but in the kingdom of God, this is the most profoundly powerful posture. As we humble ourselves, it makes room for His power, His majesty to move in us and through us. And so this is a posture we must radically fight for in ourselves. But to voluntarily sign up for this, for self-humbling, to voluntarily sign up day after day after day, number one, we've got to trust the character of God. Comes down to, can we trust His character? We see the character of God revealed most extraordinarily in the life and the actions of Jesus, which is the centerpiece again of our whole theme this year. This reveals God's character to us. I want to read you a quote from James Bryan Smith in The Good and Beautiful God. He says, "The dominant narrative of the Bible is a story of unearned grace, of a God whose love is not thwarted by human sinfulness," that's our sinfulness, "and of a Christ who dies for sinners, for us. It's a story of the steadfast love of God." We can trust God's character, His nature, His love for us. And therefore, it's safe to humble ourselves before Him. And now, as well as trusting His character, to avoid this need for self-promotion or for over-projecting or for trying to control everything around us, it's important not just to trust God's character, but to trust God's plan. We also need to be able to trust His plan. Philippians 2:13, "For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." His good purpose. And I think it's so important for you and I to take a hold of the fact again that He has plans and purposes for us that are good. Now, not always comfortable, often the opposite of that. but for our best and the best of those around us. And we can trust His plans. You can trust God's plan. So therefore, it's safe to humble ourselves before Him, to humble our will, our ideas, what we think we want to do, and to hold them before Him with humility, saying, God, ultimately, I want You to lead. If You're going to be my God and my Savior, take the lead. Take the lead, because I can trust You and Your plan is best. If You hold the keys and the framework for human flourishing, then I'm trusting You with the framework and the keys of my life so You can lead me to that place. And then through me, You can help others to that place. Proverbs 3:34, it says, He mocks proud mockers, the scornful, the arrogant, the proud, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. And now in the New Testament, James and Peter, they both quote this verse. It's a big deal to get quoted twice across into the New Testament. James 4 verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives favor to the humble. Again, you've probably heard it said, life's hard enough as it is, without there being the sense of God opposing certain areas of our lives because we're prideful. When He wants to bring freedom and liberty, let's not position ourselves in the place where there's this opposing sense, because we're actually acting in the opposite spirit to what God is calling us to. He opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. And this takes confident trust in Him, in His character, in His plan, that we can humble ourselves before Him, trusting that He will lift us up. Like we see in these verses in Philippians 2, that Jesus humbled Himself, and therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. Jesus modeled this for us with His self-humbling, and then at the right time, the Father's exaltation and lifting Him to the place. 1 Peter 5:5, we see again, God opposes the proud, but gives favor to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. God will elevate when and how He sees the greatest benefit. You can trust your future. We can trust our futures as we humble ourselves before our King. So self-humbling is the price tag to the most radical works of the Spirit in us and through us. And so this year, I want you and I to sign up again. God, I'm in. Do this work in me. I present myself before You. I'm choosing to humble myself before You, to go on a journey where I'm going to let You root out any bits of pride that are left lingering around in me. Do it, God, for Your glory. Let's move to servant heart. It feels a little bit like friendly surgery this morning. It's. I hope you had your anesthetic as God digs around in all of our hearts. It's good. Servant-hearted. Servant-hearted from chapter 2, verse 7. Again, we see here that Jesus made Himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, etc. Servant. Now this, if you thought the first point was hard, that's just the warm-up. Some of you aren't smiling right now. So the same word here, servant, is the same word slave. You beauty. Servant, slave, interchangeable here. Strong words. Enticing, right? Sign me up. It's what, you know, it's what every human grows up saying is, I just can't wait to be a slave. You just give me servitude, far out. Best day of my life where I just got to... Like, it's opposite to normal human logic, but of course, when we understand something of the character and the nature of God, this begins to make sense. And again, the upside down logic of the kingdom is what Jesus came to bring. And so these let's look at Mark 10, 44 to 45. Whoever wants to be first must be a slave, must be a servant of all. For even the Son of Man, even Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Now, the key here is that this posture that is being talked about of being a servant before God, being a slave before him, this is not a forced posture. This is a chosen posture. It's not forced upon us. It's not forced upon you. We can wrestle and squirm and avoid this every day of our lives if we desire. This is a chosen posture from a place of humility to surrender because, number one, again, we can trust God's character. And so ultimately a servant, a great servant is all about the master's business. Like whatever the master needs, that's my mission to do. And so for us, there's a trusting of the master's character that there could not be a safer, there could not be a more fulfilling place to live. There could not be a place where there is greater blessing. There could not be a place where there is greater fruitfulness flowing through us than as we live in this place of active servanthood for our King. And so trusting the master's character again is important. Let me read again to you from James Bryan Smith, that quote from The Good and Beautiful God. The dominant narrative of the Bible is a story of unearned grace, of a God whose love is not thwarted by human sinfulness, and of a Christ who dies for sinners. It's a story of the steadfast love of God. This is the God that we're called to humble ourselves before. So to live, this is good. I can just feel there's little things going off in heads today. And God calls us to this. This should feel like a point of tension in us as we really consider what God is calling us to afresh. So to live as a voluntary slave, servant, we've got to know the master's business, his will, his plan. Let's have a look from John 15, 13 to 15 here. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, just call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. And so we're called into this crazy, again, it messes with our head that we are servants of the King, but he's also called us into this friendship. And it's this dance of both that happens here where he wants his heart to come alive in us so we know his business. We know the core business of the King, that his heartbeat would become alive in us more and more. So then it helps us to know where to fit in life, how to operate in our days, in the life that we live. So what is our master's core business? The core business of the master, of the King, is redemption. Is redemption of his love breaking out in broken lives, of transformation of lives with his love and his grace. This is his core business, that he calls us to own his heartbeat of and then be active in every day. The core business is this, seeing humans engage in this process of being transformed day by day into the image of Christ for the sake of others. And so what does this look like for us this year? If we say yes, if we sign up, it looks like the agape love, the perfect pure love of God breaking out afresh in your and my hearts and then flowing through us into this world. It looks like beautiful moments of hospitality as we extend this love to others. It looks like living as a witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it looks like a whole bunch of things that we're actually going to check out on the website. Ooh, we're getting technical for a second. Are you confident, Tom? Is that good? It's good. So, okay. So if you, oh, well, there's a good prayer face there, Jace. If you jump onto our website, c3hh.com.au, on the homepage there, and you then click on what you saw of the mini purpose circles on the front, and then you come to our purpose circles here. They're interactive, so don't click on it yet, Aaron. But you can see as Aaron does hover beautifully there over foster family and friends and over some of the others, that if you hover on those, there's a pop down and there's great resources and next steps that can help you. So if you're like, man, I'm just struggling with the Bible, then you click on Bible and there's a whole lot of practical next steps that can help bolster you in the Word of God. And so for as we launch this series this year, so if you click on the center, thank you, Aaron, then you can see right up the top here. So there's a whole bunch of potential next steps with Jesus at the center. And servant-hearted humility, the way of Jesus, is there right at the top. And so let's click on that and let's just see what happens. Oh, nice. Look at Ben Oates right in the center. Fresh from your engagement party last night, guys. Beautiful, beautiful. So now if we scroll down, you can see there's a passage of scripture. This is lovely, lovely. And so now you can see we've got some next steps here. So servant-hearted next steps and humility next steps. So thanks, Aaron. Well, let's click on servant-hearted. And so what we've done here, and so you can look this up on your phone, you can jump in here. I just want to spur our imagination to really practical ways what this could look like as we go through this year. And so we have some really simple but really profound different ideas that can help us. And here is we own the servant-hearted posture. And because there is such a need for us to let God speak to our heart and mind, but then to align our actions with His truth. And so there has to be this coming together of what's happening in us, but then what's happening through us. And so here are some really practical ways that we can do this. And so servant-hearted posturing. So the first one is maybe you could try smile 20% more. Some of us maybe should go 50% more, especially while someone's preaching. So did we write that somewhere? Is that's over here? It's look engaged when someone is sharing the word with you. So try smile 20%. It's actually, and you hear me, I talk about this reasonably often, it's actually profound, the power of a smile. Like it can shape someone's day. And to be aware of what your face does when you're not thinking about it is one of the greatest gifts you can give to the world. Some of our resting faces are not pretty. But they could be pretty if we just went, instead of, I don't know, can I? Does that look bad? I don't know. It's hard. So there we go. Let's just jump along. Invite someone out for lunch and pay for them. Beautiful. And so again, these are things that so many of you here do naturally. And so let's just be inspired to go, hey, how can I incorporate this into my world a little bit more? And just to reading something here, and we're going to get testimonies of this through the year as the year continues, and just enjoy being on this journey together. Where else? You could engage with apologetic material to better answer some complex faith questions. Maybe you're aware that in the office or at school, there's a couple of questions that keep coming up and you find yourself kind of fumbling around some kind of half answer. And so maybe you just, instead of watching whatever you normally watch, you can go, I'm going to dedicate like 10 hours. I'm just going to watch a bunch of YouTube clips. I'm going to read some articles and I'm going to really try and find some great concise answers to some of these difficult questions. And that's me owning the master's business and just helping someone take steps closer to Christ. Something that we could all do something like that. So maybe here, the fourth one down, it says, ask the Holy Spirit who to pray for, and afterwards send that person an encouraging text message. Maybe if you have a time with God in the morning or at your lunch break or whenever that works. And so just then add this posture, if you haven't, where, okay, God, who should I lift before you in prayer right now? And then just send a simple, encouraging SMS, like profound that could be in someone's life. Give anonymously to someone who you sense could benefit from it. And this happens all the time. There are Oh, man, I need to get permission to share some of the stories, but, you know, there are life-changing moments for some people here as someone else is given, and it's just right at the right time for someone else, and it's anonymous, and it's, oh, it's profound, and so I'm saying profound a lot, aren't I? It's, I just heard myself. It's, are you shaking your head, babe? That's right. Em tells me if you say profound too much, it can't be profound because then everything's profound. And so I receive that rebuke with humility. Maybe you could diarize giving five compliments, or for me, diarize giving your wife five compliments or encouragements every day. That could be, Em's nodding. She's yelling, yes, yes. That would actually be a decrease from probably about the 70 that I do each day at the moment. Is that right? It's I just need to relax there. I'm striving. And the reason I'm coming close to read this is without my glasses, everything here is just a blur. Here's a great one. In your home life or work life or community life, become accustomed a little bit more to asking, how can I help? And so those few little words, how can I help? Somewhere I can help you. Just letting those words, and sometimes you really don't want them to give you the answer. You're like, oh, please don't say something big. Let's take the risk together. And if they do say something big, then just text me and say, Jace, that one, take that one off quick. Okay, awesome. Let's jump to humility now. Beautiful. It's awesome. So, is it the first one I see down the bottom here? Say sorry first. It's a funny one. Say sorry first. Remember in our pre-marriage training many years ago, they're like, why don't you make it a competition if you need to? Make it a race to see who can say sorry first. Because you know when you're just like, there is no way I'm saying sorry. They need to say sorry. And you've got all in your head, you've got a list of all the reasons why. And in our mind, I'll own it personally. In my mind, my list has got two things on it I need to say sorry for. Her list has got like 50 things. And so then you're like, there's no way I'm saying sorry first. We got to flip that upside down. Again, remembering the heartbeat of our Savior who came, who owned this posture of humility in ways that it's hard for us to even comprehend. So maybe there is something so spiritual about us being proactive here and saying sorry first. Sit in silence with God for 2, 5, or 10 minutes in attentive listening. Maybe resist the urge to speak. I like this one. Plan with a friend to come to Wednesday night gather prayer. Have you guys heard about? I don't know if I've ever mentioned. Wednesday night gather prayer. Plan with a friend to come. Let's look at this one here. Plan to come with a friend to Wednesday night gather prayer. Wow, it's what they all say. Can you guys see that? It's when you catch yourself being judgmental, stop. No one here ever, right? When you catch yourself being judgmental, this would probably be most days. I think we could find ourselves leaning somewhere in this direction. Stop and choose to be curious if something is happening more deeply. Or I wonder what's triggering that behavior in that person, rather than just seeing the surface level thing that annoys you, that causes us to elevate ourselves, to look down in judgment. I wonder what's happening in their world. And then when we do that, we go to, it's a place of humility, and then the heart of God's heart of love has got room to come in us, so we can actually lift them up in prayer or shift our attitude, and then our connection with them be gracious and loving. It's awesome. So these are like small little things, and so I want these just to be prompters for us that just help us as we keep growing in these postures together. That's great. Thank you, Aaron. We can pull that off. And so, look, I'd love for us to check these out, not just have a look now, But maybe even if you're like me, I have good intentions unless I put it in my calendar. There's a slim chance I'm going to do it. So it has to go in my calendar. And so maybe for you, this could go in your calendar as a part of, like, I'm going to get up half an hour early tomorrow morning. I'm going to spend some time just holding myself before the Lord, saying, God, would you help grow this posture in me, this servant-hearted humility? Help me know what you're saying and take me deeper. And then you may want to read through Philippians or just that passage of scripture. You may want to play it on audio so you have that book rolling through your mind. And then maybe look up these next steps and just go, Lord, is there one or two of these that, you know, I'm not turning my whole life upside down, but I'm just taking a step of faith. I'm just activating something that I'm believing you're going to do in me, and I'm just taking a step that you're also going to do this through me. Maybe just that decision today to put that in your calendar for this week. You just never know what God can do with that moment as we make decisions like that together.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.